Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to our last Friday show. We'll be switching to Thursday for the month of October and following. And tonight, of course, we have with us Sue Wagner and, of course, Dr. Pat Allen. Sue, what can you tell us about what exciting stuff is happening in October?
Okay, October, as you know, we're starting the radio show on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then in October, starting October 6th, Dr. Allen's going to continue and do a live webinar. And it'll be like $10 to register from 6:15 to 7:30. You can register on wantistore.com. It's for 40 people, and she'll work with 6 people in the hot seat. October's 6th hot seat is already full, but you can be a participant by listening as well, just like the radio show. And we have 3 dates in October. And then we're also doing our once a month.
What time does it start?
6:15 to 7:30 on Thursdays after the radio show. So you can log off on Dr. Allen's radio show and join us on our webinar, which will be through our own service. And then we're also doing our monthly relationship seminar in LA on Monday, October 3rd at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City from 7 to 9, $10 admission. And then in Orange County, you can see Dr. Allen live on Wednesday night, October 5th at the Costa Mesa Community Center. And all of these address and information are on our website, Dr. Pat Allen, P-A-T-A-L-L-E-N. And for those of you that are going to be calling in to ask a question, when you call in, the producer will be calling you back. So when they call you back, you'll get a call back from the radio show, and that way they'll connect you with Dr. Allen. And we will be sending out a newsletter. You're welcome to go on our website and sign up on our newsletter and receive monthly information on what Dr. Allen has going on. So with that, I'll turn you over to Dr. Allen and Kelly.
Thanks, Susie. Hey, Dr. Allen, how was your week?
How's my what?
How was your week?
Oh, my week was fine. I'm in transition in my business, shifting attentions from this group to that group. It's quite creative, and as we all know, the brain loves anxiety because it rewires the brain. So I'm doing my anti-aging maneuver by being creatively chaotic in my planning my schedules. It's really fun, but anxiety producing.
Oh, I see. So what do you do to combat that anxiety, Dr. Allen?
I recognize that it's a good thing, having read Norman Doidge's book, The Brain That Changes Itself, I now realize pleasure does not rewire the brain. It rewards the nervous system, but anxiety is the electricity, the fire that runs down the neurons and basically keeps our nervous system functioning as a telephone system from one neuron to another, and there are zillions of them. So I want you all, whoever's listening, to know pain, no gain. So
exactly.
I don't, you see? So that's what I'm doing. And it's, I cannot say that I wake up in the morning and say, oh, good, I'm going to be in anxiety today. But I do like the result of going through the anxiety to the resolution, the decision. And I've got to recommend another book. Please, Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil. Absolutely wonderful. And you can listen to it on YouTube if you get YouTube. And it all is about, the devil is not a little person. The devil is an energy system called anxiety, which people are so afraid of that they give that system too much power. Little kids, when they're 2 years old, get up, fall down, get up, fall down, get up, fall down. It isn't until you get old that you start getting afraid of anxiety. So I'm working on this commitment that change is anxiety producing, but it's creative in what it can do for your life.
I think that's really interesting. At 23, that's when it hit me that we're fatally mortal. Up until that point, I had, you know, of course, I knew people died and everybody died, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't real. It became real when I was 23. So I totally understand that. So we have a question.
And I have one too. It came to me. So give me yours and then I'll give us ours, mine.
Oh, all right. Well, here we go. It says, dear Dr. Pat, thank you so much for the wisdom.
You're reading the one that I've got. Good. We're both on the same page.
Perfect. I listen religiously and got a lot out of the session. I would truly love to come along in LA one day on my next trip from Australia. Okay. So she says, I do have a question that doesn't seem clear to me. That is, I've told a non-committal man that we should talk only when he's ready to date, and I've commenced the 8-week no contact. Am I the breaker or the breakee?
The breaker. And I want to admit before all and everyone that there is one sentence in Getting to I Do, one, that has driven me mad for over 20 years. And you know what that one is?
What is it, Dr. Allen?
It says, if he is not willing to negotiate, don't take his calls, just ignore it. And that sentence is an error.
So you would like to revise that sentence?
If I could, I would go to William Morrow and beg them to reprint the whole big book. Because that sentence has haunted me for 20 years. Now I'm going to make the statement that answers this question. When a man is non-committable, it means he's not monogamous, continuous, and not communicating a negotiable relationship. This man is obviously going for his natural goal of intercourse. Not affection. Affection is fine. You can do all the affection you want. Sleep with him. Just don't have intercourse. Kiss him. Hug him. Give him a hand job. Let him go down on you. But don't let that magic wand in. I want all the women on the phone to raise their hands. I promise, on my honor, never will I let that magic wand in. Anywhere it can get in, unless I negotiate with its owner about his long-term plans for me, his monogamy, and his continuity. If I let that magic wand in without a commitment, I'm subject myself to 2 years of getting over the bonding, because this dear girl in this, Claire is her name, this dear girl has bonded to him and loves him dearly. And she obviously took to that one sentence in the book, but it's an error. I don't want any woman to not respond to every communication, smoke signals, texts, emails, whatever it is, respond.
She mentions in her email that he contacted her or sent her a message within the first 14 days of
I know it.
Yeah.
And she calls it the no contact period. No.
Right. I disagree with you too. Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. We don't necessarily think that's the no contact period. We really think of that as him coming, you know, he's coming to the pond and drinking period, really.
That's
I mean, it
exactly
becomes...
right.
If he's coming and he's communicating, then there's something there, and it should be addressed, whether it's for the benefit or, you know, for just knowing what's happening. So, yeah.
Keep talking. So if she's listening, I want her to respond. Don't initiate. Respond to everything and tell him, I'm more than willing to communicate with you. I'm more than willing to date you at your request, but I'm not willing to have casual intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, without a monogamous, continuous, long-term agreement.
Well, that makes great sense. That makes terrific sense. So
I feel so good about confessing my non-perfection.
Well, what does Dr. Allen say? That perfect little girls and boys end up on my couch. So, yeah, that's awesome, Dr. Allen.
Yes. So thank you for helping me confess.
Well, I don't know that it was my help, but I'll say this. I think that it clarifies a lot. And you know, that clarification, you know, is growth. And
yes,
growth is important.
Right.
So here we have another question.
What's that one?
And this one says, my husband of 22 years has become combative and secretive. He's not coming home at night. He's, oh, wow. 3 out of 7 days a week, he says he's working late and is not and doesn't come home at night. I fear he's having an affair, but how do I get the proof, or do I even bother with it? Is it just something that I should know? My girlfriends say I should just know.
You mean instinctively know?
Right.
Generally speak, women know when their men are being unfaithful. It's a gut message. The more neurotransmitters in your gut than your brain. And you know, men intuitively know. Theirs is more intuition, small pieces of psychological information, intelligent information tells them you're having an affair. But we have a feeling when they do that. So if he's losing weight and he's not coming home, he's maybe ill. And, or you may want, I have no problem with women or men hiring detectives to spy on their mate in this kind of, excuse me, sneezing.
No problem. So, she has an
issue with spying.
So the second part of her question is, do I throw away my 20, if I find out he is cheating, do I throw away my 22-year marriage, which has been happy for the most part, or do I try to do something to win him back over?
First of all, you go to the store and get the book After the Affair.
Oh.
By a lady named Spring. It's so wonderful. It has wonderful therapeutic messages in there for both the unfaithful one as well as the partner of the unfaithful one. So, no, you never, ever throw away a person based on sexual misconduct, because men are built to be polygamous more than we are. We tend to bond when we're young. They tend to bond when they're older. But in the meantime, they very often wander about in the playground of casual infidelities. So I think if I were her, I would ask him to join her, you know, in either going to therapy, and I hope not a moral therapist. I want a psychological therapist that knows human beings make mistakes. I personally believe that being unfaithful is like any addiction. It's the misuse of a natural thing. And if it's worked through, it can be a building block in the relationship.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And that leads us into this very next question. I have caught my boyfriend surfing porn, and I feel very unsexy and unwanted now. Do you think this is a deal breaker, Dr. Allen? He seems
not at
like
all.
He might.
Okay. I believe it's an etiquette issue. The law of porn is basically not in the house, you know, especially if they're kids. It's like masturbating. You know, there are people that think you're going to go to hell masturbating.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, it's probably a skill that helps a lot of people stay in touchy situations. So with this kind of a situation, I think porn is not to be used as a family ritual, but I think it's really none of our business.
All right, the following portion of her question says, I feel like he's cheating when he's surfing porn and masturbating, and so am I being overly sensitive?
Yes, you are. You're taking a natural process called sex. Men are designed to have multiple women, whether we like it or not. Do you see? And because of that, yes, it's something to talk about, but not something to divorce over until you've made every effort to talk. So it would be, honey, I want to talk to you about something I've discovered when I accidentally got into your computer doing this or that. I found that you're delving into the porn world, and I understand that's a natural skill that men, maybe a little bit more than women, but there are women that do as well. So I really want to investigate our relationship sexually, and I've been told that this book, After the Affair, would help, because an emotional affair with a non-real person, or a real person who's far away and you're having an emotional affair, is triggering dopamine in your body and you're getting addicted to it. So you attempt to help the person understand it's like overeating or over drinking or any other addiction created based on a normal human activity, and sex is a normal human activity.
Right. Well, that makes sense. So here's our next question. Okay. My husband left me and my 9-year-old daughter about 8 years ago. As she's developed into a teen, she's exhibiting signs of, I don't know how else to say this, slutty behavior. She dresses very loose. Is there something I can do to show my daughter that she doesn't need to do that to get male acceptance? I think she is having a daddy issue.
I think she needs a therapist, and maybe a male therapist at that, and maybe an EMDR therapist, eye movement rapid desensitization. This is a skill that a lady named Francine Shapiro designed when she said, why do eyes go back and forth when you sleep? And we found out they go back and forth like Etch-a-Sketchers or erasing a chalkboard. They're attempting to wipe off the traumas that are scratched into our nervous system. So I believe that this little gal was traumatized when her dad left, and your pain about it reinforces that pain. So why not see a male EMDR specialist? And you can get lists of people in your area, and that could be overseas as well, if you write to EMDR in Austin, Texas. That's where the main headquarters are, and they will send you names of therapists in your area that practice the skill of EMDR, which is what they use for soldiers, PTSD, or any other trauma situation. So a loss of a daddy and the effect on the family, especially the wife who's the role model for the daughter, it can be very beneficial to both of you.
Okay, I think that's a great bit of advice for that lady.
And Francine Shapiro wrote a book, Getting Past Your Past, about how she created EMDR. So if you want to read about it first before you delve into sending or calling the EMDR headquarters in Austin, Texas, then read the book and see if it attracts you.
Very good advice, Dr. Allen. I hope that our Facebook follower is listening and heard what you had to say.
Good.
Awesome. So let's see what else we have in our magic bag of Facebook tricks.
Kelly, okay. Can I just jump in right now? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Great.
Oh, I just wanted to say that Dr. Allen has she's having 1-day dream classes once a month in the Newport Beach office and 1-day life script classes in the Newport Beach office. It's limited to 6 attendees can work with Dr. Allen. And if you want more information, you can go to our website, www.wantistore.com, and it has a little article on reading what the dream analysis and the life script is. If Dr. Allen wants to talk a little bit more about it, she's welcome to.
Well, nightmares. People say, oh, I don't like nightmares. Nightmares are spiritually good messages with scary imagery. In other words, some ways that your subconscious conveys to you the good and the painful or whatever may be scary. But the message of dreams is absolutely healing and healthy. I'm writing a book with Patricia Eltage, and it will be out. But right now, there's one that's good. It's called The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams by Wilda Tanner, and it has 88 pages within a big book that are how to evaluate dreams, but positively, not negatively. Nightmares are just scary images in spiritually best-wishing dreams.
Wow, that's amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about the life scripts, Dr. Allen?
Well, life scripts are what we get from people, our parents, our siblings, our culture, our religion, and we might end up living by somebody else's script. You know, a script in a movie theater, that's where somebody writes your dialogue and puts it on a teleprompter. And unless you're Donald Trump, who doesn't read teleprompters, you may get hooked on your teleprompter to such a degree that you're not there anymore. Claude Steiner has a nice book, and it's called Scripts People Live. And I like to read scripts. I like to show people what they're living by and whether they, now that they're old enough to think, they're now deciding whether they believe in their script. Because if you don't believe in your script, somebody else is running your life. And that's where your subconscious tells you this by the dreams you have. So dreams and scripts go together. And they're both designed to help you become you. You've got to be an I to become a good we, to become a good us.
Excellent. So how does the class work, Dr. Allen? What do you do in the class?
In which class?
Your life script class.
Well, I give you Susie, my darling daughter in the running of the office, will send you a script, a family script, which is a major trainer of scripts, will send you a script outline, and then you fill it out, and then you bring it to class, and then the six people in the class have the most wonderful experience of watching people dig up their scripts and decide, do they buy it or do they not?
Wow.
Now, in dream classes, before you go to sleep at night, I'll give this direction. Set your Lyman. Now you're going, set my Lyman? What's my Lyman? Lyman is a root word for the word subliminal. And the word subliminal is the title of a book by Mladenow, which is so good about your subconscious running your life. So there's a 3 to 4 minute piece of time between consciousness and unconsciousness. What you send down the chute is from your conscious mind. It's pictures and images that your subconscious then uses to make pictures with, scary or not. And then up from the subconscious comes the dream, which is the message that your subliminal life, 3 to 4 minutes, is giving you from your subconscious mind, which runs your life. So we read dreams that you have captured. Now, here's the secret way to read dreams. And in the book by Wilda Tanner, it tells you this, but I'm telling you this now. Say, I'm going to dream, and I'm going to dream about a solution for this issue, whatever it is, my boyfriend, moving out, whatever. And you say that 3 times, and you write it on a piece of paper. And then you go to sleep, and you have directed your 3 to 4 minute piece of time to do your bidding. And when you start to come awake in the morning, keep your eyes shut. Keep your eyes shut, because you'll be changing the direction from coming up to going down again.
Right. Okay.
That's why we don't remember our dreams, because we've changed the energy. Have your cell phone handy, or have a pad of paper with a pen. Doesn't have to have lines on it. And copy down images of what you're seeing in your dream life. And don't open your eyes. Copy down the images that are coming up. What they're doing. Are they men or women? Are they positive or negative? Are they people? Are they nature? Trees? Are they things? Are you seeing planes crash? Are you in a car? What is going on in your dream life? And that's what I help people understand.
So the more detail is really the better.
Oh, the more detail is absolutely the best. That means you kept your... You know what you've done? You've opened the channel between your conscious mind, taste, touch, smell, see, and hear, and your unconscious mind, which is your Lyman, feeding your subliminal world. And all of those images that Wilda Tanner puts in her book helps you read it. But I have expanded. I not only combine Freud, I combine Jung, I combine Eric Byrne, and I combine my work, which is very yin and yang, quantum physics, Chinese style, and ASR, androgynous semantic realignment. So I've expanded on the subjects of dreams, and I read scripts from what you've written down in answer to the questions that you're given from Sue to write out the answers to.
Oh, that's amazing. I think that's really going to be a stunning class.
Well, we've already started doing them, so because we used to do them in big groups, and then I discovered I like little groups. The ideal group size is 6 to 8 people, and that's therapy. So I'm sticking with the small groups that make a big impression on you and the other people in the room while you're doing it.
Fantastic. So it looks like we have another question. And this is...
Do we have any callers?
We don't have any callers right now, but here's what we do have. We have...
What do we have?
Question. It says, Dr. Allen, I was at one of your shows, and you said, I don't care about your feelings. And then later you said, feelings aren't negotiable. So
that's right.
I want to
hear that first sentence. Feelings aren't... Read that part of what I think, what they said I said.
She said, I don't care about your feelings, and feelings are not negotiable. So her question is, she doesn't understand that. She wants to understand. And of course,
I'm
we know you're not an emotion.
Okay. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I run everything through my mind, through my mouth, and through my actions. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially the loving sexual ones. So here's what I say. When you go to an emotive therapist, they love to listen to you talk about your feelings.
Right.
Okay? I don't. I will say to you, what is it you want that you don't have that's causing you this pain? What is it you have that you don't want that's causing you this pain? I do not want to listen to you talk on and on about your feelings, because they're only negotiable with drugs, meds, murder, and suicide. And I'm not interested in any of those. I'm not a medical
right.
doctor. Mm-hmm. I send people to doctors when they need medicine. But what I do is I find out what you're thinking, what you're saying, and what you're doing, because those are the things that we can change. You know, it's so interesting that if the mind doesn't know and the mouth can't talk about it, the body's going to demonstrate it in illness and in bad addictive behavior. Why do you think we use drugs? Why do you think we do what we do when we're addicted to something? We're trying to blot out our feelings, but they
right.
can't blot them out. What you've got to do is find out, what is it I want that I don't have? What is it I have that I don't want? And then make a plan of going through the anxiety of changing my thoughts, my words, and my actions.
That's awesome. And that's funny, because our next question here is... relates to what you said a couple of weeks ago. And what you said was, make a plan. This lady says she doesn't quite know how you said it. Something like, make a plan and the decision to do something or not do something.
That's exactly right.
She wants to know if you can expand on that, Dr. Allen.
First of all, you've got to know what you want. I want to get married. That's a favorite one, right?
Right.
And then I say, okay, are you going to flirt 5 minutes a day? Are you going to do 4 of those flirtings with people as you walk by them? Are you going to sit or stand in a music concert or a coffee after church? What are you going to do to start the program of getting married? Because while Santa Claus may come down a chimney, very few husbands do.
Right, right.
You've got
That's
to make
so
a plan.
True.
And so the one I generally start people is, I say, what is it you want? Then I say, do you want to be respected by your mate? Do you want him to ask you what you think and want and what he can do to help you do it? Or do you want to be cherished by your mate? Do you want him to ask you how you feel about doing his thing, his wants? Now that you know whether you want to be respected or you want to be cherished, do you want to be laid or paid more in your
Right.
marriage? Do you want to pick
Right.
with your eyes the cutest, sexiest man or woman? Or do you want to listen to a humorous man or woman, a good man or woman, who treats his kids and the waitress well? How are you going to sort out your decisions about this person? Are you noticing all the work that has to be done? I Want to Be Married is my book, Getting to I Do, is the book on how to get married. It combines all the things that I've learned in my 44-year program of being a marriage, family, child therapist. I've learned these things, and I've packaged them in a few books. The one, Getting to I Do, is most popular, although mm-hmm. there's another one you can get from Amazon that has more technology, and it's called Staying Married and Loving It.
Right.
And I wrote that one, too. You see?
I do.
So you've got to make a plan to get through the anxiety of change.
Makes perfect sense. And we've got a, young bride-to-be. Dr. Allen, I'm a young bride-to-be, and how I got into the position to be engaged to be married is by following your rules and reading your book, Getting to I Do, among
This sounds like we have just done a commercial for the book. And somebody's, we're not paying anybody to give us an accolade.
Exactly. Here's what she says. Now I feel weird. We are 6 weeks from the date of the wedding, and I'm starting to have second, maybe third, or possibly fourth thoughts. The other thing is, he wants to wait to have sex until after we're married, and that's making me nervous. What if we're sexually incompatible? All of these strange thoughts are going through my head. Am I just having bride's anxiety, or do I need to look deeper at this issue?
Well, first of all, I'll give you a legal answer. If you don't consummate the marriage, you're qualified immediately for an annulment.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about no sex, because if he's sexual, you know, you'll be as good as anybody starting. Those first sexual encounters are generally like taking the first olive out of a bottle. It's not exactly the best one, but technique comes with time. Now,
okay.
Having cold feet when you're signing a major lifetime contract is a natural form of anxiety. I would think you were weird. I tell people, don't do a legal agreement with anybody you're emotionally involved with till you know them a year. No lending money, no buying cars, no borrowing, no buying houses. Please. You can get
right.
engaged on the first date. That will allow
right.
you to, you know, to be sexual and do all the other stuff. But don't sign legal agreements. And if you're a woman, there's a wonderful book out there, because more psychopaths are men than women. So a marvelous lady named Sandra Brown wrote a book about women who love psychopaths. And that book will tell all of the signs and symptoms of a psychopathic man. Also, a movie by Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman called, what is that one? Gaslight.
Gaslight.
Yeah, Gaslight is a super, super good one. There was a movie some years ago about a couple, and he was a psychopath, and she was discovering all the ins and outs. But you can get the little book or watch the movie. It's you, really, especially young women, bond to men that are sexual. The problem is that a psychopathic man can be extraordinarily wonderful as a lover. And so I want you to not sign any legal agreements. Get engaged, explore the sex, or wait for the wedding. And if there's no intercourse, there is no consummation. That's the reason, you know, people say, oh, getting married is just a piece of paper or something. No, it's a building block for the society in which you live. The family is the original building block. There are countries, Sweden, which are not marrying anymore. And they sent a film crew over to America and picked out 10 experts in the field of sexual marital business. And guess who was one of those 10? Me.
Who? Oh.
Me. So I did a segment for their film, which I've not seen because it's in their country.
Right. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Hey, caller, you have a question.
Hi. Yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. Here's my question. I'm in the process of setting up my profile for this dating service that I'm going to use.
Are you going to market yourself as a career woman or a woman with a career?
Oh, dear God, no. Woman with a career. I'm not a career woman. Woman
okay.
with a career.
So your profile at the first half will be all the lovable things mm-hmm. you like. The second half are the things you're proud of having done. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question on this?
Kind of, yes. I have a question on age. I remember you once mentioned that when a person is 7 years or more, well, I mean, when they're within 7 years of your age, you're kind of in the same generation. So
that's for children. Children that are born more than 7 years apart. The best divorce rate is 10 to 15 years an older man with a younger woman.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. How many times you go around the sun is immaterial. It's whether you have chemistry, whether your lives are compatible, and best of all, you've read my book and you know how to communicate, negotiate, not intimidate or seduce.
I do.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so then 10 to 15, not a big deal then. Okay.
The 7 years is for children that are 7 years older than their brothers and sisters mm-hmm. or younger.
I also got it. I also read the statistic that best divorce rate also is when people marry from 32 to 37. Do you think that's correct or is that?
I don't know that one. I just know that men that are your age, if you're 30 and he's 30, you're in the same life space and you'll be often very competitive in your career areas, unless mm-hmm. you're distinctly the homemaker and he's distinctly the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So how much time do we have, Kelly?
We have 4 minutes. So I think we have time for one last quick question here.
What is that?
This is from one of our male listeners and one of our male Facebook followers.
All right.
Says,
we welcome him on air.
He says, I'm a newlywed. I've been married 8 months, and I don't care for my wife. I don't like her. She's changed. She's nothing like she was before we married.
That's not unusual.
Okay. He wants to know what he can do to get his wife back, the one he married.
Here's what he can do. One of the tools. Wife, honey, I want to talk to you about the state of our marriage. I want to go to a motel or a hotel and rent a room for a day or two. And just you and I, no TVs, no buddies, are going to talk about our goals and objectives for our marriage. For I'm not comfortable. If she refuses, you're with someone who's not married to you. If she's willing to get together, talk about what you want and what you don't want, and stay in the room until you either decide to get a divorce or you decide to follow a new course of behavior.
So really, it's really like going to neutral ground. Would you say that's true, Dr. Allen?
Yeah, but what I gave you in the idea, it is a good therapy technique to go to a room, not your home. Go there and stay there. Have the food shipped in and just stay there. Don't watch TV. Talk and talk and talk about what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah, the second part of the statement is we shared all kinds of dreams and had all kinds of the same vision. But it seems like now she has totally different visions that aren't in the same frame of what we had talked about and planned for our lives in the 2 years leading up to our wedding.
Okay, they were together 2 years. Here's what I see in the world. Men pray women won't change before the wedding, you know, after the wedding. Women pray men will change.
That's true. We are down to 1 minute, Dr. Allen. What have you got to say to me tonight?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
That is pretty poignant for our gentleman who asked the question, I think, and maybe hit right on the nail on the head. So everybody remember, Dr. Allen's show will be airing on Thursday night starting in October. And so this is our last Friday with you. We're switching to Thursday. That'll be starting in October. Also, don't forget that after those October radio shows, Dr. Allen will be having interactive seminars with people on the hot seat, much like our Monday night show. So don't forget about our Monday night show and our Wednesday night show, the first Monday and Wednesday of the month. And we are about out of time. So let's see what's happening here. www.drpatallen.com. And remember to sign up for the newsletter so you can hear all about the great stuff that's happening with Dr. Allen in the month of October and for the rest of this year. Sue Wagner gave us some really great information tonight. So if you're interested in those classes, don't forget to sign up. Interested in those seminars that will be happening after the radio show. Very exciting stuff going on. And what else do we have? Oh, yeah. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And our radio guy is not playing our music.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.